Good morning, Hub City. It's good to be back with you this week, and I hope that you're finding some bit of rest this summer. It looks like some of us are off on vacation, and I'm glad because we need rest. So this world kind of wars against us and wears us out. You need to find periods where you can slow down and reflect and recharge so that you can continue this mission that God has called us on. Today's going to be a little bit different with you. I'm going to do an exercise with you, and we're going to walk through something together. So this is kind of like James's classroom this morning as we gather and come to God's Word. And you should have received one of these when you came in if you got a bulletin. If you didn't get a bulletin, I got a couple friends that are going to hand out these. So if you'll raise your hand, if you don't have one of these, they'll be glad to get one of these. You're going to need one of these as we kind of walk through our message this morning. Because we're going to talk about, as you go, how should we pray? So our first thing we're going to do today is we're going to put some names down on this sheet of paper. And our thought is, if we as a church are going to make disciples who make disciples, we need to consider, what are our options for making disciples? So today I want to walk you through an exercise, and then we'll go to God's Word, and we're going to come away today with specific opportunities to pray for people that we know that are either walking with the Lord or far from the Lord, wherever we live, work, and play. Thanks, guys, for handing those out. You notice that on this slip of paper, there are three kind of categories. There's a house, there's a guy working with a dollar sign with it, and then there's some kids playing at the bottom. What I'd like for you to do as I begin to walk through this introduction is take a minute and fill in names in each of those blanks. First and foremost, people that are near where you live. They might be in your house, they might be in your neighborhood, they might be down the road from you in the community, but who are three people that you know, first names of three people that you know near where you live? And then the second category there is three people that you know where you may work. Now, some of you may not work. You may have worked and you've done your thing and now you're done working. You're not going to do that anymore, right? So you're retiring, or maybe you're waiting to get a job, you're a student. There are places that you do business, there are restaurants that you frequent, there are places that you spend money. Kind of consider that as your workplace. People that you would trade with, people that you would do business with. Can you list three people that you may know where you work, if they're coworkers of yours, or they're people that you may frequent, maybe at the Starbucks or the McDonald's or the Ingles or whatever, people that you may do business with. The third category down at the bottom is where you see children playing. There's places where you play. This category is people that have similar hobbies. People that may share an interest with you. Maybe you're a camper, or maybe you play on a sports team, or maybe you love the movies. Are there three people that you know that have a similar hobby where you may, what we would call, play? Those things that are entertaining and enjoyable for you. So three categories that we're going to look at this morning, where you live, work, and play. Hopefully you'll come up with nine names of people that we can consider as we kind of walk through this. We as a church are on a sabbatical summer, continuing to pray for your pastor as he is in a period of rest and refreshing and retooling before he comes back in a few weeks. So continue to pray for Jonathan and his family. But we as a church want to make sure that we are fully equipped, that when he does return, that we know how we are to make disciples. Our church's mission is we're going to make disciples and make disciples, and all around us are opportunities. There are thousands of people that you see on a weekly, monthly, yearly basis that are far from God or are not in any discipleship process or not ever in anybody's church. So this morning we want to consider that. We're going to follow after the footsteps of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth to make disciples. If you remember with me the stories of the Gospels, he called 12 people to start following him during the 3 years that he was here. They were the first disciples that he made. He set into motion a pattern that should be replicated in our lives. He then went and he gave the whole church, anybody that was following him, this thing called the Great Commission. We'll put it on the screen in here so you can see it again and read it together. It's the same commission that we have today, that Jesus set upon them, that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. So go, or a better translation, as you go, therefore make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always and to the end of the age. Jesus is with us even today as we seek to make disciples. Hub City exists today because people continue this great commission. Those 12 told other people, and those other people told other people, and it kept going generation after generation until we finally heard the message of Jesus Christ, this gospel that has changed our lives, and we get to gather together as a church. But we don't want it to stop with us. We want it to continue into the lives of others. of our friends where we live, work, and play, those people that we know and do business with, that we share life together. This Great Commission is our commission to make disciples wherever we live, work, and play. So today we're going to consider how we can pray as we seek to make disciples. I want you to come away with tangible prayer points today. And we're even going to end this service with a time of prayer for people that we know wherever we live, work, and play. So everyone that you've listed on this sheet of paper falls in one of two categories, right? There's no third. They either are walking with Jesus because they know him as their Lord and Savior, they're a disciple of Jesus Christ, or they're not yet. And I use the word yet because I'm praying and believing, just like you are, that they will be one day. How dare we put someone's name down that we know when we don't have any hope for them to actually be following Christ? So your people are in two buckets. Everyone that you ever meet on any given day are in two buckets. There's no third. There's no in between. You're either knowing and walking with Christ because you're a disciple of his, or you're not. And even today, we fall in one of those two buckets. So as you look at your list, I want you to go back. I want you to do something for me. I want you to circle all the names that you know are following Jesus Christ. You know that they are a disciple of Christ, that they profess faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe they're in church today or maybe they're not. You know that they love Jesus and they're following him. Circle their name for me. And we'll begin with them as we look to God's word in Ephesians chapter 3. How do we pray for these that we've circled? How do we pray for people that we know that are wanting to follow Christ? They've said yes to Jesus. They believe that he is their Lord and Savior. They've turned from their sins, placed their faith in a risen Savior, and now they're trying to follow after God. How do we pray for them? How do we pray for one another who are seeking to do that? Paul gives them some really pointed ideas, some prayer points that we can learn from. If you look at Ephesians 3, Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. And this book is a great example of what God does in an individual's life and then brings them together collectively as a church. If you look, kind of walk back, let your eyes glance over the text and on your phone or on your Bible, he begins back and telling them about what Christ has done for them. Ephesians 2 is a great explanation of how people can come from death to life through the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And then he tells them about them being gathered together as a church, that they get to be partakers, they get to be fellow citizens with saints and members of the household of God. And by the time he gets to chapter 3, he's talking about this mystery of the gospel, that we as a church, that we as followers of Jesus Christ get to tell to other people. So in essence, before we read this passage, he's gone from salvation, from death to life, to now being a symbol as a church and then been given this great commission gospel that we have to declare. It's our responsibility to tell others what has happened to us. So by the time we get to chapter 3, verse 14, follow with me, Paul says these words to believers in Ephesus. He says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, that he might grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and how to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we could ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Paul is praying to the believers at Ephesus. He's thinking back over the change that has taken place in their life, where they have gone from not pursuing Christ, enemies of God, to now following Christ as a gathered people. And the one thing that he stops to do at this point after walking through this passage is he prays for them. Paul prays for these new believers, for these followers of Jesus Christ. He says, "For this reason, because you have been changed and gone from death to life and gathered as a church and entrusted this glorious gospel, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father." Every disciple of Jesus Christ needs someone to pray for them and to pray with them. And Paul knows from personal experience what it's like to try to follow Christ in a world that is hostile to Christ, He knows what it's like to get up in the day and try to tell others about Jesus, and they don't want to listen, and they don't receive him, and they want to beat him and flog him and put him in prison and cast him out of the city left for dead. He knows that it's not easy to be a follower of Christ. He knows the temptations that he faces within his own body, his own mind, the things that he struggles with on a daily basis, much less even telling somebody else about the hope of Jesus. It's not easy to follow Christ. Every day we get up, and we face an unknown enemy, an unseen enemy that wars against us and wants to discourage us and defeat us and get us off of this mission that God has called us to. And because of that, every disciple needs others to pray for them. And so how does Paul pray for this church? How does he pray for these followers of Jesus Christ? He says that according to the riches of glory, he may grant you strength and be power of the Holy Spirit in your inner being. He prays that they be strengthened by the Holy Spirit. Paul prays that they would be strong in their witness as they face every trial every day. And almost everything against them then and even today is going to come against them. And they need someone to fight for them and to strengthen them so that they can persevere until the end. And so Paul prays that they would be strengthened by the Holy Spirit. He also says that he wants Christ to dwell in their hearts through their faith. Paul wants their faith to grow. The more you abide with Christ, the more that you are dwelling with Christ, the more that your hearts and mind are focusing on Christ, your faith is going to grow. That's why spiritual disciplines are so important. That's why we as a church encourage you to pray and to read on a daily basis so that your faith would grow, so that your hearts would be dwelling on the things of God, not on the things of this world. And Paul is praying that their faith would grow, that these young Christians living in a hostile world would grow stronger and more confident in the Jesus that has saved them. And thirdly, in verse 17, he prayed that they would be rooted and grounded in love. What would it be like if we pray that those that we know that are trying to follow Christ, that everything that motivated their thoughts or their actions or the words that they speak, if their motivation was really love, and not just love for themselves, but a love that comes from a Savior? That was the whole focus of last week's message. If you missed it, go back and look at it. That as we realize how much Christ has loved us, we can't help but tell others that Christ loved them. We are compelled by this love. I mean, I'm just honest with myself. There's a lot of days that I get up and my motivations for doing the things that I'm doing isn't a love for Christ. It's a love for James. It's a love to gain something from somebody else. It's so that I can accomplish what I want and take that treasure back to my house. It's my motivation. But Paul is saying, no, that they be rooted like the oak trees, roots that would go deep so they would stand strong and be grounded in this love. We all need people to pray that our motivations would be love every time that we do something or we say something. Verse 18, he says what that they would know the breadth, the length, the height, the depth, and know this love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that they would comprehend this love of Christ. What a powerful prayer for someone who wants to follow Christ. That we would just pray that those that we know, those names that we circled, would comprehend the vastness of the love that God had for them. That we would slow down long enough to reflect on that. I mean, there's no measuring device that anyone can create. There's no computer program that anybody can even create and put together. I don't even know how you do that kind of stuff because I don't do anything with it. I just download it and hope it works. There's nothing that measures the depth of Christ's love because it is limitless. It surpasses all of our understanding, all of our knowledge. I like the way the New Living Translation words it. He says, may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of of life and of power that comes from God. May those that we know that are seeking to follow Christ fully comprehend the love that Christ has for them. There's a lot of ways that we can pray for those that are trying to follow Christ. Paul gives us a few right here. He prays that they would be strengthened by the Holy Spirit, that their faith would grow in Christ, that their actions and speech are motivated by love, that they comprehend this love of Christ, and then lastly, that their love would be, that they would be continually amazed by God. Have you ever gone back through your day and at the end of it just reflected on what God has done? I did that yesterday. I mean, I got up in the morning and I prayed that God would use me in a way that would be a blessing to someone else, that would give me an opportunity to talk about Christ. And I never know how God's gonna answer that prayer. Yesterday, we were coming back from Walmart, you know, that real quick trip, we gotta run, get something that lasted about 3 hours instead of 10 minutes. But the reason it lasted 3 hours was a lady that I knew whose car was full of kids that she was taking to the park was rear-ended right there at the stop sign. And she wasn't with her husband. She was by herself, car full of kids. And so my wife recognized her and said, "Hey, that's so-and-so." And so we pulled over and we got out and we helped them. And we stood there beside her for 2 hours while the police came, filled out reports and all kind of things. Well, the guy that rear-ended her also had kids in his car, but he didn't have air conditioning, so all those kids got in this car, and this wife's trying to fill out police reports all by herself. And where does James go? Inside the car with all the kids. A couple kids I knew, the rest of them were strangers. So I'm like having this in-the-car VBS kind of experience, right? So the people that I get to witness to, the people that I get to encourage and talk point to even why I'm there is these kids that are in the car while the mom and the dad are out there trying, they weren't even really a dad, but they're out there doing this police report thing. For over an hour, I got to talk to those kids. And I got to show them the love of Christ, so much of the three-year-old went home with my sunglasses. You never know what God is gonna do. When you, and I got back in the evening, and I was just amazed that I would even have an opportunity like that. I didn't get up expecting that, but I got up asking for something like that. My prayer is that every follower of Jesus Christ would be amazed by God each and every day. That God would do something and use them somehow that just amazes them. There are so many ways that we can pray for those that are following for Jesus Christ, but these are some that Paul does for the early church, for those that were just following Jesus Christ, just getting their faith started, just coming together as a church, and just trying to figure out how to just declare this majesty, this mystery of the gospel. But what about those on your list that whose names you didn't circle? Look back at your list. There may be people on that list whose names weren't circled that you didn't know if they were following Jesus Christ. I pray that there are several names that you didn't circle. If all your names are circled, then your prayer needs to be today, right now, before I go any further. Lord, bring me in contact with people whose names I can't circle. People that I don't know if they know Jesus Christ. Help me to build new relationships from people that are far from God, just like Mike prayed earlier. If all your names are circled, then pray that God would give you names that you can't circle. That's where you begin. But for those that are on your list, like people that I know in my life that I know that are not following Jesus Christ, I can see it in their actions. I see it in the decisions they're making. I hear it in the words that they say. Look how Paul prays in Romans chapter 10. For those that he knew were far from God. Paul was raised a Jew. He studied a Jewish faith. He trained under the law. He was a Jew among Jews. I mean, he was, you know, he would have been a religious leader among the Jewish people easily, but Christ changed all that when he met him on the Damascus Road and he saved him. And so Paul is broken for his people still. He's writing to the Romans, but he's talking about the nation of Israel. He's talking about the Israelites that he knows. He's talking about his Jewish people that he knows that are still far from God. Jesus Christ has come, but they haven't accepted him, or they haven't heard about him yet. And his heart is broken for them. And even though God has called Paul to go take the gospel to the Gentiles, he's still praying and writing about the Jewish church, about the Israelites. So look at chapter 10, what Paul writes about the people that he knows that are far from God, people that are not following Jesus Christ. He says, "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a great zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." Paul is writing these words after in chapter 9, he even said, "I'd be willing to give up my own salvation if the people of Israel would believe." He's broken over those that are lost. And he's writing these words. And his very first prayer is that they would believe. Look at how he describes people that are far from God. And kind of think about the people that you know, maybe the names that you circled or others that could be on the list. He first and foremost says that they're not saved. He prays that they would be saved. That means that they're not saved. They don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They didn't accept the Messiah when he came. They're continuing in their ways. They're not saved. And the primary motivation of his prayer is that they would be saved. And he prays that out of brokenness. Verse 2, he describes these people that are far from God as having a zeal for God, but without knowledge. If you know anything about the Jewish faith, even today you can look at their zeal. They're very zealous people. They crucified Jesus because they wanted to purify the church. They wanted to protect their faith. They even had people that were called zealots. I mean, they carried little swords around and they were going to protect the faith kind of thing. So they were like Jewish hitmen that would go around protecting people that tried to go against their traditions. They were very zealous people, but they didn't know that righteousness now came through Jesus Christ. They didn't know that there was a new covenant. They didn't know that Jesus was the Messiah, that he fulfilled all of their Old Testament prophecies, that he was the one that they were waiting for. They didn't know it, and because they had zeal without knowledge, they missed it. And they were still far from God. And if we think for just a minute, every one of us know people that are religious, and they might have a zeal. They might be really passionate about God, but they don't know Jesus Christ. Maybe they have a theology that says that Jesus wasn't the Son of God, that he was just a prophet, that he was just a good man. They're really zealous. They're really protective of their faith, and they're praying to a God, but it's not Jesus. Or maybe they've adopted some idols that they're worshiping, and they're really devoted and faithful to them, but they don't know Jesus. You can be religious and still be lost. And Paul is praying for the nation of Israel that is very religious, but is not walking with God. Thirdly, he describes it in verse 3 that out of ignorance, they're seeking to establish their own ways of being righteous. They've got all these rules and regulations that are so that they can be right with God. I mean, they're trying to keep this long list of things to do and longer list of things of not to do just so that they can stay in a good relationship with God. And Paul's saying, that's not it. Jesus has fulfilled that law. That's what he ends up with. And then out of that fulfillment, all they have to do is believe in him. They don't know any better. They've never heard about Jesus. Or if they did hear, they rejected him. They're denying this truth. So in essence, Paul is praying for people that are far from God. That if they were to die, when he penned these words, they would suffer eternal separation from God. And the same is true for us today. Those names that you didn't circle on your list, if they were to take their last breath today, they don't have a second chance. And they'll suffer an eternal separation from God. So how do we pray for them? Paul gives us these ways from his text. We, like Paul, would pray first and foremost that they would be saved. We would pray that they would love God based on a knowledge of Christ, which means somebody's got to tell them about Christ, right? Or they've got to read it in the scripture, that they would quit seeking their own salvation. They would quit trying to do enough good things to earn God's favor. They would quit trying to be perfect. They're never going to be perfect before God. They just need to repent and believe. That they would submit fully to God. And lastly, that they would believe that faith in Jesus Christ is enough. That's a really hard one. To think that someone would give me a gift of eternal life and all I have to do is repent and believe in it. I feel like I need to do something to earn that, right? This is kind of the American way. But that's not the Christian way. Christ did everything and we just have to receive it as a free gift. To believe that he truly is the Son of God who died in my place for my sins. And I believe that, and by my profession in that, that I too am saved. Everyone you know falls in these one or two categories. Either walking with the Lord, seeking to be a disciple of Christ, or they're not. They're still far from God. It's my prayer that you who are walking with the Lord would see these things in your life, that you would be strengthened, that your faith would grow, that your actions and speech would be motivated by love, that you could comprehend the vastness of love that Christ has for you, that you would be continually amazed by God. But I'm more concerned about those of you that maybe sound like the ones that Paul was talking about in Romans. That you're still walking a guilty distance from God. You're still far from him. And maybe today you realize that you are far from him, that you're a lot like the guys in Romans 10, that you're trying to do enough good things to earn God's favor, but it's not working. My prayer is that you be saved today. My prayer is that you would realize that you can't do this on your own, that maybe today you understand for the first time and you would submit fully to God and that you would believe through faith in Christ. That you today would repent and believe. Everybody on our list today is in one of these two categories. And we as a church can pray for them that they may become disciples and that can be growing as a disciple. Paul prays for the church often. Every one of his letters that he penned to the church included a prayer. So we as a church want to make sure that we take time to pray for those that we know that are far from God. Time to pray for those that we know that are trying to walk with the Lord. Maybe some of you have each other's names on that list. I want to give you room today at the close of this service to pray. Pray first and foremost for those names that aren't circled, and use some of the points that we've listed today, that they would be saved, that they submit fully to Christ, that they would believe that Christ is enough. I also want to give you margin to pray for those that you know are following Christ, that they would be amazed by him, that their faith would grow, that they understand this, the depth of this love. So today we're going to close in a prayer and give you margin. We're going to play a little background music, and we're going to let you kind of look over your list and pray for these people. You should have 9 people that you can pray for today as we close our service. And I'm going to believe, just like Paul wrote, that God's going to do more than we can ever ask and imagine in their lives, because his grace and his strength is enough. Christ is sufficient to answer our prayers and see those that are far from God come to faith in Christ, and those that are walking with Christ grow in their faith in Christ. I'm going to believe that as you pray, Christ is going to answer your prayers. So we're going to play a little bit of music, and we're going to give you a couple minutes to just pause where you are. Maybe you want to circle up with somebody and just pray for those that are on your list. And then I'm going to voice a prayer for us all. But take a couple minutes right now and pray for those that you've recorded using the points that we've walked through today. Father, we as a church want to come before you today, praying and interceding just as Paul did. Out of great love for those that we know wherever we live, work, or play, Father, we pray that they would be saved. For those that are far from you, Lord, that they would fully comprehend what Christ has done. That they would love God based on what they know about Christ. That they would quit seeking their own salvation, that they would submit fully to God, that they would believe that faith in Christ is enough. Many we know, Father, are seeking to follow after you. We realize that it's hard to follow Christ in this broken world that wars against us, and so we pray that you would strengthen them by the power of your Spirit. We pray that their faith would grow and grow and grow every time that they come to your word. We pray that their actions and their speech would be motivated by Christ's love for them. We pray that they could comprehend the vastness of Christ's love, that they would know the depth and the height and the breadth of the Savior's love for them. I pray that they would be continually amazed by God. I pray this for my brothers and sisters that are here and walking with you. I pray for those that are far from you, that today would be the day of their salvation. Father, we trust that you can do abundantly more than we can think according to the power that is working within us. That you, Father, can bring glory through your church and in Jesus Christ, not just for this generation, but for all generations. May this be done in the powerful name of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.